Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Flush. I'm your host, Hiva, and you're going to love today's episode because it's inspired by something very real that's going on in my life that's pretty funny, but that also leads to a takeaway message that's going to apply to your life in one way or another in some area of your life. So let's get into it. So last week we did not talk about the eclipse, in part because I feel like, honestly, I feel like until the actual day of the eclipse, I was not, I don't want to say I wasn't aware of it. Like, I was very much aware of the fact that the eclipse was happening, but I wasn't, I don't know, I just wasn't as like dialed into it. Like, I just was very distracted by my own things. And, you know, I do record the podcast before the day before the show. Unfortunately, I used to do it the day before the show, back before I did video. But now that I do video, I need a little bit more post-production. So yeah, we never really talked about it. But basically, Ozzy was out of town. He was in Miami for work. And there, when they're on location like that, he's working like 16 plus hour days. And so he was gone. We weren't really like talking about the eclipse at all, but I did know that he was landing. He was landing at 1:50 p.m. And I think the eclipse kind of like started in New York City at 2 p.m. with the height of it being 3:25 p.m. And I think it was like up until 4 or something like that. So there was like a 2-hour window in general. So he lands, he comes, and it really isn't until he's like the day of that he's traveling that I'm like, shit, should we be like doing something for the eclipse? Like, I don't fucking know. Like, apparently people have like eclipse glasses places, like, which no one told me. Like, no one, like, I just don't understand. Literally not one person was talking about eclipse glasses. I truly feel like until the day of, maybe I just was in my own world, but all of a sudden the day of, everyone has all these eclipse glasses. And I was like, well, like, how did you plan ahead for this? Because today was the first day I heard of this. And I heard that Warby Parker was handing them out, but like, oh, whatever. I just didn't, well, I really just didn't have time to go get them, quite frankly. So Ozzy gets here. And I wait for him downstairs and I was basically like, hey, why don't you just drop off your suitcase in the lobby? Like, let's not even take it upstairs because I don't want to like titillate Sam and get her all excited into seeing you and then immediately run out the door. So we just left his suitcase and we just like went for a walk and we walked to the Hudson River. So we were, you know, along like the West Side Highway, along the water, just walking down. And it was so fucking cool because A, it was like really sunny and pretty that day, but also because everyone was outside. Like, Hudson River Park was just filled with people. Like, you would have thought it was a weekend afternoon in the spring when it first starts to be nice, you know? Like, what a fucking vibe. And I just love any time that people can gather and do something together, you know? Anyway, so really fucking cool. And then I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I did look directly at the eclipse like multiple times. Part of it was because I have an eye doctor appointment next week and we're actually doing like a proper eye exam. Like, she's gonna dilate me and stuff because I haven't done that shit in years. So I was like, eh, whatever. Like, if I'm gonna fuck up my eyes, I feel like the right time to do it is probably like right before I go get an eye exam. But yeah, I did look into the thing directly like a lot. Like, not even like a little bit. Like, I'm not gonna lie, like, I really looked directly at it a lot. And then right when we walked away, I was like, I think, like, not only did I not fuck up my eyes, but I feel like the eclipse unlocked some kind of, like, superpowers within me. Like, I kept calling it. I was like, I have 20/40 vision now. Like, my vision is improved. Like, I now have x-ray vision. I can see through things, right? Yada, yada. So then we go to Whole Foods. We picked up some food and stuff, and we went home, and I wanted to test out a couple of recipes and just, like, make something fun for Ozzy to eat also, because, you know, when he's away on location, they don't really have great healthy food, and then he comes back, and I feel like historically I used to be a lot better at, like, cooking for him and just, like, making sure he's, like, eating good food. Not that he's not capable of cooking for himself, but it's kind of my love language to cook for people that I care about, whatever. But I would say the past few months I haven't been as good about it just because, like, I've been so fucking busy, and so he's really had to, like, fend for himself in the kitchen. But generally when he first gets back from a trip, I try to be a little bit better about it, right? So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna make this fucking, like, beautiful, amazing, stunning meal. And I'd, like, spent all day kind of, or all morning kind of thinking about, like, all right, what am I gonna make? And what recipes do I wanna test and stuff like that? Cause that's how I try to take advantage of when he's around to do more recipe testing, because there's another mouth to feed. And so I knew that I wanted to experiment with this kind of, like, detox, de-bloat kind of salad dressing. So I made a big kale salad with that dressing, which ended up being so fucking good. And if you're a Blush Academy member, the recipe should be in the academy now. So quick little announcement, I believe recipes should be up by the time this episode comes out, unless I die in between recording and the episode coming out, which honestly could happen, and stay tuned to find out why. Anyway, so I make this stunning salad, and then I wanted to experiment with, like, an orange, you know, like, orange chicken, like, from Panda Express and stuff. I wanted to do that type of vibe, but with chickpeas. So I made that. It was good, but there are, like, little things that I need to tweak in the recipe. Not a big deal. I know what to do differently next time. Anyway, so I make all this food. We sit down. We put on an episode of Only Murders in the Building, which is a show we started watching, like, whenever season 3 first dropped, and we just have not gotten around to finishing it, even though, like, we literally love the show. It's so good. Like, it's not anything about the show. It's just the fact that he travels so much and we've both been so busy, right? So we're sitting there, we're watching, I'm kind of, like, eating, and I'm starting to fall apart. Like, it starts with just pain in my stomach, and then just kind of, like, a dizziness and a nausea starts taking over, and then I start getting chills, and the pain in my stomach gets worse, and it's, like, it's moving. Like, it literally, you know what it reminded me of? Do you remember when, slight spoiler alert of Twilight, but, like, again, I'm sorry, Twilight came out, like, 30 years ago, okay? Like, if you have not read or seen Twilight and you are precious about it not being spoiled for you, I'm sorry, but you're gonna need to get on it, because, like, what the fuck, you know? Okay, so when Bella's pregnant in, what is it, in Breaking Dawn with the half vampire, if you haven't read or seen them, and, like, a civilized person, you now accept that you're probably never gonna read or see them, which is fine. Like, they're not that good. So Bella gets pregnant with a half vampire, half human, and her pregnancy, very short because the vampire is growing at a very rapid pace, but it's terrifying. And the entire time they think that she's, like, on the verge of dying, but she refuses to abort this child. She's, like, so attached to it. And it's a half vampire, and the vampires are very, very, very strong in this franchise. And so the baby is, like, killing her from the inside, basically. It's growing at a rapid pace. Like, her body can't handle it. And every time it moves, it's, like, stretching out her skin, and she looks fucking weird and her tummy's so distended. And then as the pregnancy progresses, it's literally breaking her bones from the inside, like breaking her ribs, like breaking her pubic bone, hip bones, like all of the bones around that region are being broken by this child. That's basically what I was going through. Like, it literally felt like there was some kind of demon inside of my body. My stomach kept getting bigger and bigger, and it's like pushing out. It's like you could literally see, like, it's like you could see the demon kicking and moving inside of my body. It's all moving around, and I'm getting like pale and nauseous and like can't breathe and like convulsing and stuff. And Ozzy's like, what the fuck is going on? Now, I was a little bit less alarmed for two reasons. One, I used to have really severe digestive issues, and I had forgotten just how bad it was until this incident. And then I remembered I used to feel like that pretty much every fucking day. Like, there was a portion of every fucking day where I would have to go lay down. By the way, pro tip, if you have a severe digestive event like that, I highly recommend laying on your left side and pulling your knees into your chest. It really helps move things out quicker. Anyway, I used to have that shit like every fucking day. Like, I used to have to go lay on my left side. That's why I started playing games on my phone, because I would get so fucking sick every single day, and I would have to just lay. And the only, like, I couldn't just lay and do nothing because like the pain was too extreme, but I also couldn't like do anything meaningful because the pain was too extreme. So I found that phone games were a perfect balance of distracting me from the extreme severe physical discomfort while also kind of like entertaining me. Anyway, I used to go through this shit literally every fucking day, right? So that kind of helped me. But the other was I kind of quickly guessed what was happening. Now, let me backtrack. So as you probably know, if you've been listening for a while, you know that my dog has been really, really sick. My dog Samantha, it's been really hard, and it's been emotionally really, really draining on me. But the other part of it is it's actually been physically really, really hard. And I would say I've adjusted to the physical toll that it's taken quite a bit. But for a while, it was really overwhelming because I went from someone who woke up at like 9 a.m. to someone who was outside with my dog at 6 a.m. every morning. Like, that's a drastic adjustment to make quite literally overnight, quite literally. So for the longest time, I was so fatigued all the time as my body was adjusting to this. And I've now kind of like figured it out and played with it and tweaked with it where I'm actually getting a little bit more sleep. But for a while, I was getting like 5 hours. All of a sudden, I was so fucking exhausted. I was so fucking tired. I was so emotionally and physically drained. And so I started doing a lot of like emotional eating and just eating like literally for energy because I was so fatigued. Like, I just could not make it through my days. So even though I could feel that I was really overeating, it's like I also needed it in order to fuel me, you know? And so I was getting a lot of like bloating in my tummy being distended, but I didn't think much of it because I really thought it was just like the binging and the emotional eating, the overeating and the stress and the not sleeping and all of these things, right? So I didn't think too much of it. Now, even though I didn't think much of it, I still wanted to experiment with things because this is what I do. This is my job. And a lot of how I'm able to give you guys advice is that I test things out on myself and I'm like, okay, what works? What doesn't work? You know, what should I suggest to people? Yada, yada. And so I've been experimenting with various herbal and other supplement protocols to see what I can do to improve the bloating and the tummy distension and stuff like that. And in the process, I picked up a jar of this parasite cleansing herb. And well, it's not one herb. It's a supplement that has a bunch of herbs in it. It's herb-based is what I meant to say. And I never thought that I had a parasite, right? I mean, we do all have parasites, and a lot of them are actually really helpful and not harmful. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. I didn't actually think I had a parasite. The reason I picked it up is because A, I heard a lot of people say that it really, really helped them both with digestive issues, but also other things like brain fog and like mood stuff. I mean, like people were saying like their entire personalities changed, which like, if there's one kind thing I could do for the world, it would be to change my entire personality. It would be an act of charity, quite frankly, if my personality could improve. Like, I think Ozzy, I think my friends, I think my family, I think the community as a whole is really just sitting and waiting with bated breath for my entire personality to change. So I was like, fuck it, let me try it. And I was familiar with most of the herbs in it, and they're herbs that are largely used for parasites, but also have a lot of benefits outside of parasites. So I was like, fuck it, I'll try it, whatever. And when this happened last Monday on Eclipse Day, it was like day three or so of me taking the supplement. So I was like, fuck, I think that this is what's happening. I think the reason that I'm experiencing this is because like I may actually maybe have a parasite, or I might have some other kind of harmful microorganism that this thing is killing. And before you get better, you often get worse. And that brings me to the message and the theme of this episode. And that is that oftentimes, in order to get better, you first have to feel worse. And we see this in so many different facets of life, so many that we're actually like so familiar with, right? Like, I think most of us have a moderate understanding of drug detox. Like, when you get clean and sober from drugs, you usually go through withdrawal symptoms first, where you feel a lot worse before you feel better. Another like really top of mind example of this is massages. Like, have you ever been really, really sore and then you get a massage, and the day after the massage, oftentimes your pain is a lot worse than before the massage, and then you start to feel better. We see this like just in other facets of life too. Think like you have kind of like a dilapidated building that needs to come down before you can build this beautiful new work of art. You have to demolish the old building. Or even in tarot, you know, like the tower card in tarot is basically this entire concept, this concept that sometimes things have to come crashing and burning down before you can rebuild with something new and something better. So basically what I was experiencing sounds like, obviously we can't be 100% sure, but it sounds like I was having a Herxheimer reaction. A Herxheimer reaction is a temporary exacerbation of symptoms when you undergo a detox of harmful microorganisms like bacteria, fungi, parasites, etc. So basically what happens is when these microorganisms are being killed, they release toxins into the bloodstream faster than the body can eliminate them. So that's why we have the symptoms. And to be a little bit more detailed with the science of what's happening is a lot of these harmful microorganisms have endotoxins. Endotoxins are toxic compounds within the cell walls. Now, when these microorganisms die, the cell walls break down and they get released into the bloodstream. So those endotoxins get released into the bloodstream. The endotoxins being released into the bloodstream triggers an immune response, where our immune system recognizes these endotoxins in the bloodstream. It recognizes them as foreign substances, and it launches an immune attack. So it releases pro-inflammatory cytokines, which then cause inflammation and cause discomfort. So this happens oftentimes when we do a cleanse of any sort, but it's around these microorganisms. So again, I can't say for sure that I have parasites. I really, really can't. But I do think, based on the fact that I very clearly have been undergoing a Herx reaction, I think it's safe to assume that I have some kind of harmful microorganism that this cleanse that I'm doing is attacking and killing. And some symptoms that you can expect when undergoing a Herxheimer reaction are fever, chills, headache, body aches, fatigue, weakness, lethargy, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, cramps, acne, rashes, hives, itching, pain, brain fog, trouble concentrating, and heightened emotional sensitivity. I basically have been experiencing all of these things, and it comes in waves, and it's so fucking weird. Now, I love, like, I've really been running with this analogy of like me basically being pregnant with a demon, but that's like, it truly feels like Bella Swan's pregnancy. In fact, I went ahead and made a fake sonogram photo. So I took a sonogram photo and put a clip art of a demon on top of it. And I've been sending it to people, and I would honestly send it out as like a baby demon coming XY date, but I don't actually know when baby demon will come out. I did name her Sybil. I do think she's a girl because like men aren't capable of being this crazy and this temperamental. Like this is a special, unique skill that women have. Like men can be crazy in like a boring kind of way, but like only women can make it this fun to be crazy, because like this bitch is fucking nuts. Like I wake up and I'm pretty good. She doesn't wake up until like 8:20, so I have a few hours in the morning where I'm good, and then she wakes up and all hell breaks loose. Most mornings around 8 a.m. I have to take like 5 minutes and just writhe around on the floor. Because baby demon Sybil is waking up, and she does not wake up on the right side of the bed, let me tell you. Maybe baby demon Sybil would benefit from taking the Symbiotica sleep supplement, because I don't think she's well rested. She wakes up very groggy and very cunty and truly ruins my life. And then it goes down, and then it goes up, and it goes down, and it's so wild. And like really like a big part of why it feels like there's a literal demon, Ozzy pointed this out. He's like, your tummy like shrinks and expands throughout the day, very independent of food and water intake. It's like all of a sudden my belly, like I'll look like I'm 6 months pregnant, and then it'll go away all on its own. And it's like not in reaction to eating. It's not in reaction to peeing or pooping. Like the size just increase. Like things move. Like it literally, sometimes she literally kicks like a baby. And I have to say, I have a very complicated relationship with my demon, because on the one hand, like I truly love her. Like she's a child of mine. Like I feel like we're so bonded, and I really understand her mood swings on such a deep level. Like I understand like every fucking crazy thing that she does. I'm like, I've been there. I've done that. Like I get it. Like you truly are my child. Like you truly, truly are my child. Like only the spawn of my loins could be this temperamental and this crazy. But then at the same time, she's like literally ruining my life. So we're on a really fun journey together. And if I sound a little bit lifeless, it's because I have a demon sucking the soul out of me from the inside. And like literally before I came to record today, I just had to like lay down for a bit and just take some deep breaths and be like, right, we're going to do our best. Hopefully I don't project, I'll vomit all over the camera. But yeah, that's just like one of the many examples of ways in which, you know, you have this thing, you have this harmful substance, whether it's like candida or, you know, it's like a bad bacteria overgrowth, or it's parasites or some kind of other kind of fungal infection or whatever the harmful microorganism is, right? And it usually causes some kind of negative symptoms. You usually have digestive symptoms. You might have like moodiness, irritability, whatever. You might have constipation, diarrhea. You probably have some kind of like bloating and distension in the stomach. And then you start attacking it. You start, you know, healing it. You start addressing it and fighting it, and you expect your symptoms to get better, but 99.9% of the time they're going to get worse before they get better. And this isn't the only area in life where we see this. Like one that Again, like everyone is probably familiar with, is when you start exercising. You know, when I was in high school, I was really close friends with this girl. We'll call her Kelly. Just for the purposes of this episode, we'll call her Kelly. Not that it matters. This isn't that deep of a story. Anyway, me and Kelly had two other friends, and one of the two, and that is it. We literally had two other friends, and that is it. We had not one more friend. And honestly, the other two girls we were friends with were like some of the biggest bitches and cunts I've ever met in my life. Do you ever like look back on your old friendships and you're like, wow, I really had very low self-worth because I used to hang out with like the biggest cunts that ever existed. And honestly, all of my former friends probably say the same thing about me. Like we all, I think, collectively have up-leveled and outgrown each other. And that's a really beautiful thing. Anyway, so we were friends with these two other girls. And I believe not both of them, but one of them and me and Kelly all signed up for a Pilates class together at the community center. This came because I remember it was actually my idea. I was looking at, was it like the People magazine list of hottest people or one of those magazines would do like a list of the hottest people, and literally like everyone in the top 10 was like, and she attributes her slender figure to yoga because it like stretches her out and elongates her and stuff. And I was like, guys, I think we need to do fucking yoga. But then for whatever reason, we decided to sign up for Pilates instead. I think it was one of the two cunty girls was like, I don't want to do yoga, but I'll do Pilates. And we were like, okay, sure. So we signed up for this community college Pilates class and we all go do it together. And Kelly had like literally never exercised before. She was one of those like freaks of nature who's just like really tall and really thin and really slender and really fit and really trim without ever trying. Like, fuck her. No wonder I'm no longer friends with her. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so we went to our first Pilates class and Kelly was like really, really struggling all class. And the next day we were in school and she's like, I am so sore. I've never been in so much pain. And so I'm like laughing, whatever. And we had to take a quiz in history class that day. And when Kelly finished her quiz and she had to go to the front of the classroom to like submit her quiz to the teacher, I laughed so hard that I was kicked out of the classroom because Kelly was like waddling to the front of the room. To the point that I remember this. This shit happened 20 years ago. And I remember it like it was yesterday. Her waddling. She had the last desk at the back of the room. She waddled all the way to the front. Like she's like basically dragging her limbs around, like pulling herself by holding the sides of other people's desks who were trying to take a fucking quiz. Like, I don't know why I got kicked out of the room. Like, yeah, I was laughing, but I wasn't the one who was like acting like they just got bitten by a zombie in The Walking Dead or some shit. Like, it was so fucking out of control. We've all been there. We've all done a new exercise or started a new exercise regimen or like whatever and gotten really, really sore. And if you've ever wondered to yourself, why the fuck is this happening? Here's the exact science of what's happening. Physical activity that our muscles are not accustomed to cause micro tears in our muscles. And when we get those micro tears, our body releases various chemicals and immune cells, including cytokines and prostaglandins. And those cytokines and prostaglandins and other chemicals and immune cells go to the affected area with the micro tears and they start repairing the tissue. But in the process of repairing the tissue, which causes inflammation, there are side effects. So basically we get like the pain and the discomfort and things like that from the inflammation that comes about from the muscle repair process. There's also a lactic acid component. So when we are exercising, if the muscles can't do aerobic respiration as quickly as it needs to, then it switches to anaerobic respiration. And one of the byproducts of anaerobic respiration is lactic acid. You might recall doing this chemical, what was it, like equation or reaction or whatever in like intro chemistry class in the 9th or 10th grade. I think we did this shit in middle school. I vividly remember doing this. Anyway, so that lactic acid also stings, but I do think it's important to note that lactic acid is not a primary source of soreness and usually dissipates in a few hours or a few days. So the bigger source are the micro tears, but the lactic acid does play a component. And some symptoms that you might experience are pain, swelling, stinging, fatigue, burning, and soreness. So that's two areas where you really see feeling worse before you feel better, right? Everyone starts exercising because they want to feel better, but then they're met with the pain in response to it. And then eventually that pain goes away and you do feel better. You get stronger, you know? It's just the way things go. Another area where we see this all the fucking time is when we eat healthy, or when we start eating healthy, I should say. Now, I grew up really eating healthy. Like, I was always into healthy living, healthy food, etc. And somewhere along the ways, like in my 20s, I kind of fell off of track of that for two reasons. Well, three reasons, I should say. It kind of started in college. I became really obsessed with protein because I gained a lot of weight my freshman year, and I would like look up ways to try to lose it. And one thing that always comes up is like protein, 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 and anti-carbs. So I started really becoming obsessed with eating protein in a way that was like to the detriment of actually ingesting nutrients, because basically I was like, I'd prioritize getting in protein over everything else. So that's the first area where my clean or healthy eating journey kind of went off track. The second one, and this is probably the really big one, is I, in my 20s, was such, I want to say a pick-me girl, but I feel like not everyone uses that phrase the same way. Like, some people use it as like, oh, pick-me, pick-me, which is not what I think of as a pick-me girl. Like, I think of a pick-me girl as N-log energy, like not like other girls energy, you know, like, oh, I'm just not like other girls, you know? So that was kind of my whole thing always in my 20s. Like, I just wanted to be that N-log type of vibe. And so I started eating less healthy because I thought that it kind of, it's so hard for me to explain exactly this mental state, but it was this very much like, oh, I'm so cool and so chill, and I'm just like effortlessly skinny, and I'm not like other girls who just order a salad. Like, I want to order a steak and a burger, and I like bacon and I like candy. So that was a big part of my identity for a lot of my 20s. It was just this like really overemphasis on trying to be like so cool and chill and like effortlessly cool and chill and like effortlessly cute. And, you know, I couldn't be caught dead putting effort into anything type of vibe. So, okay. So that was a big part of it. And, the other reason why I started eating less healthy, and this is actually really counterintuitive, is because I had an eating disorder in my 20s. I would often find that I could eat less quantity of food if I did, like, I didn't ever want to eat like a salad because I'm like, well, that still has calories, but then I'm wasting calories on the thing that I don't even care about. I'd rather get right to the point. Anyway, so for all those reasons, I had really fallen off of eating healthy. And that started to change when I went vegan. I think I was 28 or so. I don't know. It was May of 20, 17 that I went vegan. So when I first went vegan, my relationship towards food started to change and I really started to view it differently and it kind of stopped being the enemy and it really kind of started to be a way of nourishing myself. Nevertheless, I was still eating tons and tons and tons of ultra processed vegan foods. Like a lot of my diet was like living off of vegan hot dogs or I was buying like tons of bread and vegan cheeses and things like that. Because like I said, my big thing was always like, I want to not waste, quote unquote, waste calories on these other things, right? Anyway, leading up to the bar exam, because if you don't know, if it's your first time listening, I am a trained lawyer, not to brag, but leading up to the bar exam, like right around the time of the bar exam, I really started to view food differently and really started to be like, fuck this like fake persona I've put on where I'm like, oh, so like effortlessly cool and unhealthy and shit like that. No, I need nutrients right now. Like I need to be fueling my brain. Like I don't, like we don't have time for this stupid game where I'm LARPing as like, I don't even fucking know. I don't even have a good analogy in my head. But yeah, so I started to eat a lot healthier and something interesting happened. I noticed I was starting to get really bloated. I was starting to get really fatigued. I was starting to get really dizzy. I remember not that long after the bar exam, I went out on a date with this guy and on like our second or third date, we went to see Annabelle and I like almost passed out in the movie theater. And like, I remember I went to the bathroom and I was like shaking and excessively sweating and I could barely get up and stuff. It was like really, really fucking scary. And it's because I had recently started to eat healthier. So I was experiencing all of these adverse symptoms. Now, scientifically, there's a few different things going on. First off, one thing that happens when we start to eat healthy and we feel worse before we feel better is we're going through withdrawals. And that's because processed and highly palatable foods affect the brain's reward systems, very similar to drugs. And when we reduce or eliminate those processed or highly palatable foods, we start to have withdrawal symptoms. Now, another reason why we experience negative side effects, and this is a really, really big one, is fiber. So fiber is so fucking important for us and for our health. And it touches on literally everything. Fiber affects everything from your metabolic health, your hormone health, your nervous system, your mood, your happiness levels, your gut health, your regularity. I mean, literally your skin, everything is controlled by fiber. But when you increase your fiber intake, it promotes the growth of beneficial bacteria. And these shifts in gut microbiota can temporarily lead to a lot of discomfort. And the last reason why we sometimes see some adverse symptoms when we start to eat healthy before we start to feel better has to do with fat metabolism. So when we start to eat healthy, we often are consuming fewer calories than we're exerting. Now, when we consume fewer calories than we exert, you know, we lose weight. And what happens is our body starts breaking down stored fat into fatty acids and glycogen to use for energy. But the problem is fat cells, in addition to having the fatty acids and the glycogen that we can use for energy, it also stores toxins. And when we start to break down those fat cells, the toxins get released into the bloodstream and that triggers an inflammatory response. So when you first start a healthy eating journey, if you will, you might experience negative symptoms like bloating, gas, constipation, diarrhea, headache, fatigue, cravings, mood swings, and irritability. But this phenomenon isn't limited to just physical changes. We actually see it big time when we do some kind of like inner healing journey, self-work, self-improvement, whatever you may want to call it. One area where we see this a lot is when people start to do inner child work. I remember when I first did inner child work, I really became very like irritable and angry and unpleasant, and I couldn't regulate myself and I couldn't regulate my emotions. And every time I've gone on to do another subsequent big round of inner child work, the same fucking shit has happened. I remember when I went to Australia the first time in 2022, I went through this really, really big time. So basically when I was in Australia, that summer, it is their summer, it's our winter. But you guys might remember, I mean, the podcast was going at the time, so I was talking about this. But basically, Ozzy has these two nieces who at the time were like 6 and 9 or something. And they're these like adorable, sweet, blonde, pretty girls. And I spent so much time with them when we were in Australia, and their parents, which would be Ozzy's brother and I nearly said his boyfriend, Ozzy's brother and Ozzy's brother's wife. And they're just such a lovely family, the four of them together. And they have such an open relationship. And I remember there were so many times where we'd sit around and talk about like the boys that the girls had crushes on and like laughing about them having boyfriends or not having boyfriends or things like that. And, you know, I'd witness them go do all their after school activities and all this stuff. And even though I was having such an amazing time with all of them, there was this other thing that was happening, which was that I was incredibly jealous and incredibly bitter. Being around them really kind of showed me everything that I wanted to have as a child that I didn't have. Like, I wanted to be able to talk about boys with my family, but I wasn't allowed to. I wanted to have a family where we could gather around and laugh and giggle and like have this lightness together, but I didn't have that. I grew up in a family that was very hostile. The family dynamics were very uncomfortable. I had to hide so many parts of myself. I couldn't share about my life with my family. And seeing all of these things that these girls had that I didn't have brought up so much grief and resentment for me. And it really prompted me to do more inner child work, which was really lovely. But then in turn, I became so irritated with my parents. And it was a phase that I went through where I had a really, really poor relationship with my parents. And this is really, really common. And I also was kind of taking it out on people around me. You know, one place where I've seen this in TV, an example that might resonate is in The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I want to say like not the most recent season that aired, but either the season before that or the season before that. I think it was just one season ago though. Whitney was going through this like inner child healing journey, and she kind of like lost it too and got in a big fight with Heather, and just like her whole like friendship dynamics and everything shifted, and she was kind of behaving impulsively and just being really different. And that's really fucking common, because scientifically, here's what's happening. When we experience childhood trauma and emotional wounds, they become deeply ingrained in our brain's limbic system, which governs memory, emotions, and behaviors. And when we start doing inner child work, that activates those limbic circuits and brings suppressed emotions and memories to the surface for processing. This temporarily intensifies emotional pain so that we can confront and release that past sadness and fear and shame. But confronting these painful memories, in addition to just like bringing them up and making us re-experience the pain, it also triggers the body's stress response system, which leads to a release of stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, which then temporarily heighten feelings of anxiety and agitation and also cause physical symptoms of stress. So some symptoms that you often experience when you're doing inner child work, inner child healing, etc., is grief, anger, shame, emotional sensitivity, sleep problems, fatigue, constipation, tantrums, physical pain, and other gut issues. Similarly, We see these types of adverse effects when you engage in radical self-awareness. Now, radical self-awareness is a phrase that I came up with. I kind of use it to convey what some people call shadow work. The reason I don't like to call it shadow work ever is because I think it can get really confusing because different people use the term shadow differently. And so I just call it radical self-awareness. And that's the practice of uncovering parts of ourselves that we've repressed and really bringing them to light. And like everything else I've discussed, usually when we engage in this, we tend to feel worse before we feel better. And I saw this really recently with my friend Amy. So I am working on a body of work around radical self-awareness and inner child healing for the Blush Academy. And it's kind of like in the early research, experimentation, testing phases. So I have some stuff down and I've been asking some of my friends to kind of like test it out and experiment it on themselves. And one of those friends is my friend Amy. Now, my friend Amy is someone who's always prided herself on being a very loyal person. She always talks about how loyal she is. And one thing that has always really triggered her in other people is when she sees what she perceives to be a lack of loyalty. And that's actually a big part of why I asked Amy to test this out, because I had a feeling that Amy was probably repressing something within herself that would point to maybe not being such a loyal person. And since she has started this radical self-awareness journey, she has realized all of the things that she's done in her past, which have been not very loyal things. Like she's fucked over her friends. She's lied to people. She's cheated on former partners. She's cheated on tests. She's done all of these things that actually really are not examples of loyalty, all the while consciously thinking of herself as like the most loyal person who's ever existed and being so irritated anytime someone displayed anything other than loyalty. And now she's uncovering all of these various ways that she was not loyal. And it's really caused her to have all of these symptoms. Like she's been very raw, very vulnerable, very irritable, very emotional. She cries easily. She constantly questions herself. She like questions her opinions. She goes back and forth. She doesn't have that like firmness in herself that she previously used to. And it makes a lot of sense scientifically. So a few different things happen when you practice radical self-awareness. First, much like the inner child healing, doing this practice triggers a stress response. It triggers the release of cortisol and adrenaline, which then leads to heightened reactions. But another thing that happens is radical self-awareness activates emotional processing circuits and brings suppressed emotions, memories, and beliefs to the surface. This temporarily intensifies emotion. Radical self-awareness involves challenging deep-seated beliefs, assumptions, and identities. And this really creates a lot of cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is the psychological discomfort that arises when there's a discrepancy between existing beliefs and new information. So in the case of Amy, she's had this existing belief that she's this incredibly loyal person, but now she has this new information of like, holy shit, I've cheated on ex-boyfriends. I've fucked over my friends. I've cheated on tests. Like maybe I'm not this loyal person that I always thought that I was. And that's a really painful thing because she has this new information that is in odds with this deeply seated, deeply held belief that she's had from the past. And as we confront and reconcile these conflicting aspects of ourself, our brain undergoes cognitive restructuring to accommodate these shifts in our self-perception. So we experience these symptoms, and common symptoms that we experience during this journey are anger, fear, sadness, shame, guilt, confusion, mood swings, indecision, headaches, bloating, other gut issues, fatigue, resistance, self-doubt, and denial. And one other area where I really see this phenomenon of feeling worse before we feel better is one that you're actually, I'm sure, so familiar with. And that's breakups. Hello. Like 99% of the time with breakups, we feel worse before we feel better. Like, I feel like I don't even have to list examples of this because we all have examples of this from our own lives. But some, like one that really sticks out from pop culture, Bella Swan in New Moon. By the way, all this Twilight talk, I just have to go on this quick tangent, but I was thinking about this in bed the other night. I think that they should make a Twilight spin-off series. I think it should be a TV show, not a movie. And I think it should follow Renesmee as an adult. By the way, I fucking hate saying her name because it's like so fucking stupid, but whatever. Renesmee as an adult with, like, you know, Jacob Black and whatever their friends are and like the adventures that they're getting into. How fucking good would that be? Free idea. Someone make it. And by free idea, I mean I fully expect to be compensated for it, please and thank you. Anyway, going right back to it. You know, that's a really common one. I mean, on Bravo, we saw this past year, Ariana and Lindsay both like went through it. They went through those breakups. One of my favorite examples is actually from Friends, the TV show Friends. Remember when Monica and Richard broke up? I nearly said Monica and Ross broke up, which is gross. But when Monica and Richard broke up, like, she went through it for a while where she like wasn't getting out of bed. And it was like, basically it looked like the flu. And then she went through a phase where she was just making jam. And then she went through a phase where she wanted to, you know, have a child via sperm donor and all these things. Same thing in Friends. We saw Ross go through breakups with both Emily and Carol, where he was like really distraught for a while and really lacked energy and lacked movement and like wasn't doing a lot of things. And then eventually it comes around. And honestly, it really is so important to really go through that pain. Like, breakups aren't meant to be easy. You know what happens when your breakup is too easy? Either you just like literally never gave a shit about the person, which happens, or what happens is you're just numbing and dulling from the pain and you're not facing it. And that's going to have a lot of consequences in the long run. I actually think that we're seeing that a little bit on Vanderpump Rules this season with Katie. Now, I love Katie and I will make excuses for Katie a lot, but I think that Katie is not having the best season, which is crazy because like Katie should be having a great season, right? Like, her ex is kind of exposed as being a bit of a douchebag. Everyone's kind of on her side. She really, like, all things considered, has everything going for her, but she's not coming across great. And I think the reason that she's not coming across great is because I think that Katie never really truly processed her breakup and never really, like, I think as soon as the divorce was announced and stuff, she really started leaning into this like, oh, look at me, I'm gonna be living my best life era, and never really went through all of the pain. And I think that because of that, we're not seeing that Katie didn't leave Schwartz because she didn't love him. Like, she left Schwartz because Schwartz couldn't show her the type of love that she needed. And so she eventually made the mature, responsible, and incredibly difficult decision of being like, no, this isn't working, but I'm stepping away. But I think because she so quickly went into that like, oh, I'm dating and I'm sleeping around and I'm living my best life and I'm having fun, I think that we're all forgetting how much she truly loved him and how difficult this breakup was. So a lot of things, like, for example, her being so mean to Joe, people are like, oh, she's so mean to Joe. And it's like, yeah, of course she's mean to Joe because she loves Schwartz. It's not like she ended it because she didn't love him. She loves Schwartz. So it's difficult to see him with Joe. And because like Katie won't actually be vulnerable and lean into that, she ends up looking like a mean girl. I think also one thing that I find very cringy to watch is all this stuff with Tori right now. So basically Schwartz and Katie are both dating this like 24-year-old Tori. But I don't think Katie is actually even really into Tori. I think Katie saw Schwartz and Tori flirting and knows that Tori is bi. And I think that Katie's like a little bit fluid herself, whatever. Like, she's clearly open to exploring with women. And so she's like, oh, let me hit on Tori so I can like kind of like, I think she just really still is kind of in love with Schwartz, but because she won't admit it and just like really sit with that discomfort and that pain, it ends up coming off in all these like various cringy ways, like her being mean to Joe or her fucking Max, one of Schwartz's best friends, or her now trying to fuck Tori, who Schwartz is seeing, all of these like kind of cringy, kind of like desperate seeming behaviors rather than just being like, fuck, I'm in so much pain, I'm so fucking hurt. But the worst way that you can handle a breakup is not facing the pain at all and just jumping relationship to relationship to relationship. And that's exactly what Kristen Doty has always done. And that, I think, is a big part of why Kristen Doty continues to be so crazy, because she just keeps jumping and making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the science of this and why it's so painful. Now, human beings are hardwired for connection. And when we are connected to someone, we form an attachment to them. And that attachment activates brain regions associated with reward, pleasure, and bonding, like the nucleus accumbens and the ventral ligamental area. I'm probably pronouncing literally all of these scientific terms incorrectly, but that's fine. Now, when the relationship ends, the loss of attachment triggers a cascade of emotional responses. The other thing that's at play is the same thing we've been talking about. It's the stress response, which prompts the release of cortisol and adrenaline, which cause heightened emotions and a lot of physical symptoms. And then the last thing is literal withdrawal. Well, the relationship, when we're in relationships, it releases a lot of dopamine and oxytocin in the brain's reward system. And when that ends, it leads to physical withdrawal from those feel-good chemicals. So some symptoms that you might experience when undergoing a breakup is sadness, grief, loneliness, anxiety, distress, longing, self-doubt, loss of appetite, gut issues, and the urge to act impulsively. That's why there's that trope of like going through a breakup and like cutting bangs or cutting your hair short or whatever. It's because of the way that the grief affects our prefrontal cortex. Okay. So now I want to talk about how to mitigate and manage the symptoms, because at the end of the day, it's just kind of something that you have to go through. You just kind of have to go through the feeling of feeling worse before you start to feel better. But there are things that you can do when you're in the thick of it to really help you get to the other side better. So the first one, and probably the most important one, is to go low and go slow. You don't want to go crazy. When you first start exercising, you're not going to go bench 450 pounds. That would be crazy. No, you're probably going to start benching 10 pounds. When you start eating healthier, you shouldn't be consuming 50 grams of fiber a day. If you're coming off the standard American diet, you're probably only consuming like 4 grams of fiber a day. Go low and go slow. Increase it by like 5 grams every other day. When you start doing some kind of cleanse like this, guess what? The cleanse that I took, the protocol, it says start with taking like 1 to 2 capsules a day and then graduate to 4. Guess what I did? I just started taking 4 right off the bat, like a wildebeest, because I was like, I don't even have a parasite. I'm not going to have die-off symptoms. I'll be fine. Guess what? A bitch was wrong. You know, when you do some kind of inner healing journey, you want to go low and go slow. We're doing the Blush Academy Spring Forward Challenge in the Academy right now. And it's a lot of deep inner work. And because of that, every other day or every third or fourth day, I've built in a nervous system day to really help you re-regulate that nervous system. Ooh, I'm starting to really have to pee. Also, Sybil is really starting to activate, but we're towards the end of the episode, so it'll be okay. So you want to go low and you want to go slow. The second thing is hydration. Now, we don't have time for this today, but the science of why hydration is so important is so fucking fascinating. But basically, in all of these situations, I mean, you need the hydration to move the excess fiber out of your body. You need the hydration for the detox. You need the hydration to regulate stress response. It affects your mood. It affects all of these things. The third thing you want to do is movement. Even if the thing that you're dealing with is, you know, pain from a new exercise regimen, you want to be doing light movement. Like walking is one of the best things. Walking really supports the detoxification pathways in our body. Movement in general stimulates lymphatic flow to help remove toxins. It helps break up lactic acid, and it increases the production of neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine, which help regulate the nervous system and help elevate our moods. And you want to be resting as much as possible. I mean, regardless of which of these scenarios you're going through, you're really going through something. So you want to kind of treat your body like as though you were sick. You want to be resting as much as possible. You want to be leaning into the community. And then the last section, which brings us right into our foods that make you blush segment, not a minute too soon, because Sybil really has a stronghold of my internal organs, and she is squeezing. She's treating my organs like they're like a stress toy. Okay. This fucking demon who I love so much, just really terrorizing me from the inside out. Okay. There are certain foods that you can eat that will help you eliminate better, that help support our body's natural detoxification pathways, that help reduce inflammation, that regulate the nervous system, and that have a lot of grounding properties. So I really encourage you to eat some of these foods this week. And those include blueberries, sweet potatoes, especially purple sweet potato, beets, beans, avocados, and broccoli. And that brings us to the very end of our episode, which I honestly feel like I've been going through in like a dreamlike state, because I barely know what the fuck is happening right now because I'm in so much pain because of Sybil. But we like to end every episode with gratefuls, where I list three things that I'm grateful for. And I invite you, as you're listening, to list three things that you're grateful for. The only thing is to list three new things that you're grateful for. Don't just pick things that are top of mind and really obvious. You really want to scan through your day or your week and find things that you're grateful for. Okay, I am grateful that I've made it through this episode without like vomiting or passing out or anything, which is quite frankly a miracle. I am grateful that I've had Ozzy here this entire time as I've been going through this. And by the time he leaves again for the next conference, I'm really hoping my Herc's reaction has died down a little bit, but we'll see. And I am grateful. Oh, you know, I'm grateful for blueberries. I'm really vibing with blueberries these days, and I think we're going to see a lot of blueberry recipes coming up. So get excited for that. And this week and every week, I'm always grateful for you guys. I am going to end the episode really quickly because Sybil is really, like I'm really starting to see stars. Like it's honestly hard to follow what's happening around me anymore. Anyway, come back next week to find out what happens. Maybe I'll have given birth to Sybil. Maybe she will continue to grow inside me. Maybe, well, I don't know. I'm very curious to see what happens. I truly feel like I have no idea. Okay, love you guys. Bye. Oh, and don't forget, rate, review, subscribe, yada, yada. You guys know the drill. Okay, love ya. Bye.